Thank you. maybe totally understand what it's involved in and haven't heard it before, perhaps, but it just means that a life set apart for God's purposes, for God's use, for God to use us, for God to bless us and in turn make us a blessing to others. And may one of them, were they going to be a blessing to those that they were about to kill? Certainly to Rahab, we're looking at Rahab, Lord willing, and see some other of those of you who believed in the God that had done such wonders for God's people. We may think, well, that whole generation was wiped out. They were so evil. But there were some who were spared because they came to faith in this God of Israel. We know that we're only here for a short time. The Bible says it is appointed unto man, or mankind, wants to die. In other words, each of us must meet that appointment. So it behooves us to think about what the lessons are here for us, that we are in this life only for a brief time. And then we must go and give account to the God who created us of what we have done with the message that has been handed down to us, the message that has been clearly verified by these miraculous events that happen to God's people and will happen to us. God is real. If you will put your trust in Him, experimental faith, even, I believe God will be true to that trust that you put in Him. So, a consecration, I think this was what was necessary before they engaged the enemy in battle. I think it's what's necessary for us each day, in that day, with our eyes lifted to the cross of Christ, and asking Christ to give us that strength for the battles that we must face, that strength that will flow from the blood that Christ shed for us on Calvary. A commander. Now Joshua, though a commander himself, needed a supreme commander. Joshua had been appointed as the successor of Moses. I'm sure we all know that. But he needed to know that he was not really the one in charge of this battle. And so we're told about how Joshua saw this man. Now obviously he was more than a man. It turned out to be the angel of the Lord. In other words, the Lord himself stood before Joshua. And he stood with a sword in his hand. And Joshua asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" So I think Joshua did not even recognize who this was, or was unsure who this was. So this person reassured me of who he was. As the commander, he said, "I have come as commander. I've come to take charge." We have this statement that sometimes people like to say, may have heard it, that God is my co-pilot, or God is my navigator, or something like that. Someone has said, if God is your co-pilot, then you need to change seats. He wants to be in charge. He doesn't want to just be part of the army of what we want done. I think we understand that lesson here is for us, that He is the captain of our salvation, the book of Hebrews tells us. And then there's counsel here. And the counsel that this person gave and stood before Joshua certainly involved preeminence. He said, "I am here to take charge. I'm not here to be for you or for your interests, but I'm here to be in charge." And it reminds me of what Jesus said. Before he left this earth, before he rose and actually ascended to heaven, he said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." So we have that power. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." You see, this is the offensive that we are to be involved in as Christians. And I think it's true of the military spirit as well. We are in this world to be a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ, and to engage the enemy in battle. But it also involves the power. Jesus has all power. And I think this was Jesus that stood before Joshua standing that day. Before they even engaged the enemy, Joshua did, to have this lifted faith. I would suggest to you that suggest to me that the thought of that we need revelation of God. We need to know that one of our songs was about that, how we need to know Him. Paul spoke of that. I want to know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. How do we do that? Well, I think by what we've been doing this morning, looking at the Word of God, reading the Word of God. I think having a daily reading plan in his Bible is very important. Because then God can take His words and speak to us and minister to us. We don't know what we're going to be facing for that day, but God does. And so we need a lifted faith. We've learned that from Joshua here. We can also learn the lesson of a lowered face. A lifted face suggests revelation. I think a lowered face suggests reverence. That we are to have a reverence for God. I heard a number of years ago, Charlton Heston, who played Moses in the Ten Commandments, said that when he was filming a recent documentary in the Middle East, and this would have been a number of years ago, of course, because Charlton Heston died several years ago. But when he was filming a more recent documentary in the Middle East, the Arab people did this to him because they were thinking of Moses. They thought, well, you know, there's Moses. And still today, we probably think of Moses probably looked like Charlton Heston. But I think it showed the reverence that the people of that culture had for a great personage. I think whenever any of us meet an important person, we instinctively lower our eyes. I know when someone meets the Queen, for example, they, you know, kind of bow before them. I think it's instinctive. I think it's even the animals do that. I think our cat does that sometimes, especially scolding. So, humility, it's really what we're talking about here, a lowered face. The Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. So before God can do a great work for us, there has to be this lowered face, if you will, humbling ourselves before God. And then honoring Him. We have many scriptures that tell us that God honors those who honor Him. So we are to give honor to those to whom honor is due, and to whom is greater honor due than to the Lord Himself. So I don't know that Joshua was if he were in a class with us in school, let's say, I think he might have been the teacher's pet. I don't know. But I kind of think that he was kind of that type of person. I don't know. We don't know a lot of bad things about him. I don't know that we know anything bad about him. The Bible actually portrays him as a type of Jesus Christ. In fact, they even had the same name. Joshua is really the same name as Jesus in the New Testament. They know that. But he still needed to learn this lesson, obviously, because God appeared to him there. And we're told that Joshua fell down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? So it showed the honor. And before God can use us, we must honor Him. And I think that means not only by our, demeanor or our words, but by our lives. Our lives should be lives that honor Him. Paul said that we should be vessels of honor before God can use us. And that means there must be things in our lives that must change. Not that we can be sinless in this life. But if there are things that are dishonoring to Him, we need to submit that to Him. Say, Lord, take these things. Make me a vessel of honor to You. And then homage. Homage is really worship. And before God can use us, I believe there must be this worshiping, this worship attitude, homage, giving homage to Him. Joshua needed to know He was really in charge and that he was only a servant. But to learn this lesson of worship, I think it's why we're here this morning. Kind of practice that, and not just to practice it, but to make it a part of our lives so that when we leave here and we go about our weekly duties, whatever it might be, that we would lift up the Lord in worship. The Bible says to sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. And you may not want to sing out at work, or you may want to, but there still should be that song that God has put in your heart, that worshiping, that attitude of worship. So they looked at faith, lowered face, I want to suggest these things, and loosed feet. Doesn't God say here to Joshua, take off your sandals? For the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Why did he do that? Well, we may remember that God told Moses to take off his shoes and sandals at the burning bush. So I want to suggest that if lifted faith suggests revelation, that we need a revelation from God. A lowered face suggests reverence. We need to have a reverence for God and what He can do. Loose feet may suggest revival. But Moses needed that sense of God's presence before God could use it. So does Joshua. So do you and me. We need that reviving touch of God upon our lives. And so when God says, take off your shoes, I don't think that anybody take off their shoes this morning. Maybe you have your shoes off now, but you probably didn't take them off at the door. Otherwise, you then kind of get mixed up with some other shoes. But I know in Hawaii, there's this wonderful custom of taking off shoes before you enter home. I think much like the custom of the Middle East, people would do that. And it showed respect. It showed that you honored that person in whose presence you were invited to come. So I think that was the idea here, loose feet. And I want to suggest a prerequisite, that loose feet speaks of a prerequisite for revival. Let those shoes have the worldly contaminants and commerce. I mean, it speaks of our contact with this world. Probably a dead approach or two as well. So you have these shoes that are, you know, really kind of dirty. I mean, on the bottom of the night, you probably wouldn't want to take your shoes off the leg, right? And that would be gross, nasty, unhealthy. And yet, this is the idea, I think, that God is conveying here. The removing of the shoes, take off your sandals, but the place where you're standing is holy. God says, you must be holy, for I am holy. And again, holy doesn't mean perfect. It means that we are set apart for God's use. And that we are letting Him take control as He wants to in our lives. But it also suggests a place. You know that God told Moses, take off your shoes, but the place where you're standing is holy ground. And here, God said the same thing to Joshua, but it was a different place. With Moses, it was at the burning bush, and many believe that was in the vicinity of Mount Sinai. It was in the Sinai Desert. But this was on the Jordan Plain. Actually, they were standing on the Promised Land. But the place where we are standing, I believe, is holy ground. If you have, I believe that you're here this morning because God wants you to be here. I don't know that there's anyone here that is disobedient to God by being here this morning. You are here to hear the word of God. You are here, I trust, to say to Him, I want to know you. I want to know you better so that I can serve you. And indeed, if that is the case, then the place where you're standing is holy ground. And there's a practice here. Uncovered feet. I think suggest that this idea of Christian service, feet really are speaking of walk that we want, the Christian walk. And before God will greatly use us, we need to do as God says in His word. Take off our sandals, take off that filthy contact that we have with the world, not that we separate from the world. We can't do that. But again, God calls us to a life of holiness before Him. work, he can use us.